reopen the Bible together this morning in Genesis chapter 25. Our meditation before we come to the Lord's Supper will be the 11th verse. We'll read now the first 21 verses. Genesis 25. Then again Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bare him Zimran, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua, and Jokshan begat Seba and Dedan. And the sons of Dedan were Ashurim, and Letushim, and Leummim. The sons of Midian, Ephah, and Eper, Hanok, and Abida, Ildaah, all these were the children of Keturah. And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. But unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts, and sent them away from Isaac his son, while he yet lived, eastward into the east country. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, 175 years. Then Abraham gave up the ghost, and died in a good old age, an old man, full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar, the Hittite, which is before Mamre, the field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth. There was Abraham buried, and Sarah, his wife. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well Lahairi. Now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar, the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto Abraham. These are the names of the sons of Ishmael by their names according to their generations. The firstborn was Ishmael, the firstborn of Ishmael, Nebajoth, and Kedar, and Adbeel, and Mibsam, and Mishma, and Duma, and Mesa, Hadar, and Tema, Jetur, Napish, and Kedema. These are the sons of Ishmael, and these are their names, by their towns, by their castles, 12 princes, according to their nations. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years, and he gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people. And they dwelt from Havilah unto Shur, that is before Egypt, as thou goest toward Assyria. And he died in the presence of all his brethren. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Isaac, Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to his wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Paddan Aram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. To that point we read the scripture. Let's look at verse 11. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well Lahairi. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need the Lord's Supper. This morning, we are not doing an empty tradition. We are not merely going through a formal ritual. But we are here. This is a gathering of those whose hearts and souls feel a necessity to come to the Lord's table. If Jesus gave this to us to celebrate, then it's necessary for us, for he wouldn't give something that is superfluous. Not only did he give it, but he gave it to say in the way that it should be repeated. We read in 1 Corinthians, "For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." As oft, that is, repeated. You should keep this sacrament often, even until I come again. Obviously, Jesus thinks it's necessary for you to make confession of faith and to partake of this table. Are you a pilgrim spiritually? Are you weary? Do you have a burden on your back of sin? Did your faith grow weak? Are you filled with anxiety? Do you need to come to the Lord's table? The answer to that question is the answer to this question. Does a desert nomad need an oasis? We need the assurance of pardon. We need that grace to be confirmed in us that will keep us alive. We need at the Lord's Supper to be assured that God has seen us in all of our neediness and that God has supplied the needs of our heart. Will you not come? Will you not come and make confession of faith and come to this table that Jesus has given for the needy, where he supplies their needs? And shall we not come this morning, not out of tradition, but because we feel a need? That Isaac dwelt at the way, well, Leheroi, is the same as us dwelling in the church this morning under the word and sacrament. Leheroi was a well, and wells in Scripture, as you know, were very important things. It was an arid and dry land where no water was to be found, and to find a source of cold and refreshing water was very important. The well here, as wells in Scripture, was not a dug hole, but was literally a fountain connected to an underground stream of fresh water that would bubble up from the earth. These wells were different than what were called cisterns. A cistern was something man-made to hold water. And cisterns became stagnant and became polluted and corrupted. And those who drank from it would become sick. Jeremiah 2, verse 13. "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewn out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." God says they've committed evil. They've rejected me in Christ as the only source for refreshment for a weary soul, and instead they've built their own cisterns of stagnant waters, and these cisterns keep breaking, and the water goes out. Well, then, is a symbol of what can sustain our life spiritually. And cisterns are symbols of what man would make to sustain the needs of his soul. We come to the well of eternal life, Jesus Christ, this morning in His Word and Sacrament. These wells are found in the church, the well of life eternal in Jesus Christ, bubbles in the church. Psalm 68, verse 26, bless ye God in the congregation, even the Lord, from the fountain of Israel. The congregations or gatherings in Israel were the fountains of grace. That's what it meant for Isaac to be blessed as he dwelled by the well Lehi-Roi. The well at Lehi-Roi was in the southern part of Canaan. This well had been named by Hagar, Sarah's handmaid, when she fled from Sarah, her mistress. It means, Hagar called it Bera Lehi-Roi. Bera is well. Lehi-Roi means the God, the living God who sees me. Or Genesis 16, where she names it, it simply means, thou, God, seest me. Lehi-Roi, thou, God, seest me. That means not just the truth that God sees us right now and sees us every second of our life, all the time, but Hagar meant, at this well, I have experienced that God sees me in my need. And that God seeing me in my need, God supplies my need. Lehi-Roi meant the place where God sees my need and supplies my need with the living water. You will remember that Hagar, Sarah's handmaid, was pregnant with Abraham's child, Ishmael, because Abraham and Sarah, after 12 years in the land of Canaan, had been able to have no son, so they decided that the promised son could come through Hagar. But Hagar, when she becomes pregnant, got sassy with Sarah, and Sarah responded very badly and in anger, and Hagar ran away toward Egypt, where she came from, and she stopped at this place, at this fountain, and an angel of God found her there and spoke to her and said, go back to Sarah. God says He will take care of you and call your son Ishmael. And so Hagar at that point calls it the well Lehi-Roi, that God saw her that day. Didn't just see her as He sees all things, but saw her need. And in her need, He met her and supplied her need. It is the well where God sees me. Lehi-Roi is the well where God sees me in my need and supplies my need. It sounds like the cross, doesn't it? Isaac knew this well. Abraham had settled his family for a time at this well when Isaac was a little boy, Genesis 20, verse 1. And he grew up in this place. He grew up in the place where God sees need and in love supplies need. He grew up in the church. Later, at the age of 37 or 38, we find that he is there again when his mother Sarah has died, and Abraham sends Eliezer to Haran to get Rebekah to be a wife to him, and Rebekah is being brought back to him at that moment. This well is where he met Rebekah for the very first time. Turn back just one chapter later in verse 61 and 62, and you'll see that it was at the well Lehi-Roi that he sees Rebekah coming on the camels with Eliezer the servant, as he had gone out that night to meditate, and he sees her coming. It was a special place for Isaac, for at Lehi-Roi, God saw his need of a wife and supplied that need. And now, as a young man, he must find a place where he must live. And he has chosen Lehi-Roi. Lehi-Roi is the church. There may be in the creation places that you know of where God has met you. There may be times in your life that you have cried out to God. And now that place becomes a sacred place because He met you there. And you'll always remember that place. He saw your need. And He fulfilled it. That's true. But Lehi-Roi is pointing us to the church of Jesus Christ. Psalm 68, verse 26, once again, bless ye God in the congregations, even the Lord from the fountains of Israel. Congregations, gatherings, are the fountains of Israel. The place, the church here this morning, the Word of God being preached in the sacrament, the church has become this place now, not because of the walls, not because it's a church building, but this has become the place where God meets His people in their need, where God sees us. Though He sees us everywhere, and He sees us all the time, this is a sacred place. This is a holy place where God sees our need and says, I will fill that need with my grace. This morning, we live in a spiritually desert world. We have driven by cisterns, broken cisterns with polluted water. If you drink of that cistern of the world, universities, unbelieving universities, places of entertainment, bars, philosophies, if you go to their cisterns and drink that water, you'll get sick. And then that cistern will be broken and they'll have to build another one. But in the church, where the Word of God has faithfully taught us, we now will draw water, living water, from a living well. And God will say to us at the sacrament, as He says now in His Word through the preaching, He will say to you, I see your need. I see your deepest need. I saw that. What does the sacrament say? The sacrament says, I saw you in your deepest need, under your sin and guilt, and I supplied your need in the death of my own Son. And I supply right now, present, your need, because bread and wine will work in your body as a sign of the Spirit working in your heart, the grace of God to keep you in all of your present needs. Jesus Christ crucified is the well from which we drink. Isaac dwelled at this well. After Sarah's death, his mother, as I said a moment ago, he needed a place for his family to settle down, and he chooses the well Lehi-Roi, the place where God sees him. This verse 11, is put down in this chapter just so by the Holy Spirit. It's put down in between the sons of Abraham through Keturah, who all leave to go to the east, and then immediately after Ishmael, who leaves to go to the south, and right there in the middle, we find that Isaac is going to dwell at Lehi-Roi. Its position is intentional. The sons of Keturah, of Abraham, and Ishmael don't want to dwell at Lahairoi, the place where God sees them. Ishmael knew this place as well as Isaac. Ishmael had a very deep connection to the well Lahairoi as well, because after all, his mother Hagar would have told him, "That was the place, Ishmael, when I bore you in my womb, that God met me and God took care of me." She would often speak to him of that wonderful place, that holy place of Lahairoi. But Ishmael, when he grew up, did not want to dwell there. We read that he dwelt instead in the wilderness. Even though he had a very strong connection, and as a boy probably grew up there, grew up in the church, and had a strong connection to Lahairoi, when he becomes a young man, he doesn't want to stay there. He doesn't want to stay there because he does not want God to see him. That is, to see him in his sin. The more God sees about his sin, he becomes very uncomfortable. Yes, Ishmael would have said, "I'm no atheist. I certainly believe that God is the sovereign God who sees every man. He sees the stars. And I believe that God can send angels from heaven occasionally. I believe that. But I don't want him too close to me. I don't want him too close. I don't want a church where the Word of God is going to be proclaimed so that the eye of God begins to search out my heart and show me my need, my sin, and the Word of God begin to judge me. I prefer all of this at a distance. On the holidays, Christmas, for sure. But even though I grew up in that searching place, I don't want to dwell there. Isaac wants to dwell at Lahairoi. He wanted to be in the place where God sees him in his need and supplies his need. Do you and do I? Romans chapter 9 will tell us that this then is the difference between Ishmael and Isaac, the child of the flesh of Abraham and the child of the promise. Both had the connection to Abraham and the church. Both grew up by the well. The child of the promise wanted to dwell where God would see him in his need and give him the grace of eternal life in Jesus. He was not scared by God seeing the truth about him. He didn't want that glossed over. He wanted God to actually shine on his heart and show me my need, and point me to a marvelous grace that has satisfied all my need. That's what it means to dwell at Lahairoi. That's what it means to come to the Lord's table. We have examined ourselves. We were called last Sunday to look into our hearts. Who really wants to do that? We want to do that because we want to know our need. We don't want to be blind to our need. We want to see how God has richly dealt with us. Why do we have Lord's Supper 6 times a year? Why every 2 months? Are we coming back to the Lord's Supper? Why are we doing that? The answer to the question is the answer to this question. Why does a man who live in a desert live near a well? Why does he do that? We do this because as a child of God, we are not traditionalists. We are not outward ritualists, but we have a need, and we keep coming because we keep having that need. That the burden of sin be lifted, and the weariness of our souls be encouraged, and the faith that was tried and tested be strengthened. That's why we come. We come as a nomad will come to a fountain in the desert. Why do we need the Lord's Supper? Why do we need one day out of seven to worship with the Lord under His Word? Why do we need that? The answer to the question is the answer to this question. Why does a man in the desert live near a well? Why does he do that? Because he knows his need. And he knows the place where his need will be met. At the table, God says to you, I see, I do see, I do. With regard to your examination for sin, I see more than you do. I see. With regard to the weariness of your heart, your fears and your anxieties, your needs, God says, I see, I see, I know your need, but I do more. I have provided a fountain to refresh you and to conform you to my image. I have given to you a place where grace bubbles up as a spring bubbles from the ground. The preaching of the holy gospel of Jesus Christ and His sovereign grace, and a sacrament which swears over the name of God that I have met your need, that you have no more need. My grace will always be sufficient for your need. Why do you come? Because I need to. Here we are blessed of God. It did not look that way, perhaps, as we read further into the chapter. It did not look like Isaac was being blessed. He's living in a tent. His wife cannot have a son. For 20 years, they will wait for this son. And then in the chapter, right after verse 11, we find that Ishmael, who's dwelling in the desert, seems to go pretty well. He has 12 sons. These 12 sons become 12 princes, and they all have castles. They are doing quite well for themselves. It always appears that those who forsake God prosper. And God's own children are faced with many tears and sorrows. If you and I this morning think that God has given to us an especially grievous life, and He has sometimes certainly done that, I don't minimize those trials, those sorrows. But if we're feeling that way this morning, I would ask that you and I this morning apply to the council that we can be the ones who go on the next trip to India, and that we can get another perspective of just how lowly, of how severely tried God will bring down His children, and that even as little children, He will have them cast out. with none to care for them, save His grace. God blessed Isaac, we read. He blessed Isaac at Lehi-Roi. Rebekah conceives. The promise of Christ, the seed of Christ, is continued. God blesses us this morning at Lehi-Roi. The world this morning may seem to have a good time. Maybe not this morning. They're probably recovering on Sunday morning from the cisterns that they have been drinking from. But here, there is a well of life. It is the Lord's Supper where we may sit down and be refreshed in God's grace. It is a well that points to another well, for in heaven, Revelation 7 tells us there is a fountain that flows from the throne of grace, and that Jesus brings His children to this fountain to be refreshed with streams of everlasting mercy, love, and grace in Jesus Christ. In heaven, we will dwell in the place where each one of us will say, "The Lord saw my need and took pity. And He has supplied my need in the amazing riches of Jesus." That's the same confession we'll make right now when this is distributed. We will make the confession of heaven. "The Lord saw my need, and He supplied my need according to the riches of His grace in Jesus Christ." Amen. We pray that Thou wilt bring us to that fountain of Jesus Christ, to the assurance that in my lowly, bitter need and all my sins, the Lord saw me and supplied my need with the living water, Jesus Christ. Amen.